This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
I am glad to be here. Probably some of you have some questions already from hearing that I am a nerd pastor. You're wondering what's up with that. So I promise we'll get into it. We'll talk about it. But at first, I just wanted to introduce a little bit about myself. So my name is Nathan Webb. You can call me Nate. You can call me whatever you prefer. But on the internet, I am known as Nerd Pastor Nate. That's my handle. That is my username online. That's what the people of my church call me. And so I want to tell you a little bit about that. But before that, I already had such a wonderful job explaining a little bit of my background, where I'm from. I am an elder in the United Methodist Church. I am very glad to be here in this place. I'm a church planter, which means that something didn't exist, and now it does through the wisdom of the United Methodist Church as a system here in West North Carolina, and a little bit of assistance on my end. I'm married to Logan, my high school sweetheart. We have been together for a long time at this point, and we're very happy. We have two beautiful girls who are not here. Praise the Lord. They are in nursery, and we are glad that y'all have a nursery. Thank you. I love hearing the sounds of babies and seeing babies, but it is also a wonderful gift to be able to say, see you after service. That is a good thing. 3 years ago, I planted a church, or started planting a church, called Checkpoint Church. Checkpoint Church. And it is checkpoint a la a, like, checkpoint in a video game. So whenever you might save in a video game, you get a checkpoint along the way. That's the idea and the gist of it. But we like to call ourselves a church for nerds, geeks, and gamers. Church for nerds, geeks, and gamers. Doesn't mean we're exclusively for nerds, geeks, and gamers. Doesn't mean that if you don't play video games, you can't come. But we are made specifically with those people groups in mind. And I'll tell you more about why that is here in a moment. But a little bit about what it looks like to be a church for nerds, geeks, and gamers. Initially, whenever it was pitched to the conference, I had the intention and the plan that maybe we would be a like comic book shop or a video game shop, or we would have a place where people could gather. But if you're counting, 3 years ago was also a pretty notable year, wasn't it? And so 3 years ago, as we discerned what to do and how to make it work, we thought maybe we just need to be online. Maybe we need to ask the question of what does it look like to be a digital church? And so, upon asking where are the nerds when they're not at Comic-Con, where are the nerds when they're not at the comic book shop? Well, the answer was they're online. So we started to plan a church online. Our three major platforms is a streaming platform, kind of like Facebook Live. Maybe some of you are watching it online right now on Facebook or on a website. We host our streams on Twitch. Twitch is a streaming platform, not exclusively again, but pretty obviously for gamers. There's a lot of people playing video games on there. There are people doing all kinds of things on Twitch, but that's probably the predominant amount is gamers. And then we asked ourselves, okay, so we're streaming on Twitch, we're reaching people on Twitch, but what are we going to do? Where are we going to send them? We need a church building. And so we asked ourselves, where are the nerds going when they're not on Twitch? And the answer was a platform called Discord. Discord is kind of like a Facebook group. It's a little bit more involved than that. It's a little bit bigger than that. And you can build it into what we see as our digital church building. We actually have rooms set up in there where people can pray. We have rooms set up in there where people can geek out about their favorite things. We have places there where people can engage with our sermons or talk about Bible studies. Or we just have places in there where you can get together and just play games and just hang out and just be present online. But then we realized that there wasn't quite enough for people to do. They wanted more engagement, but they weren't able to necessarily always tune in for streams. And so we started creating something called our Nerdy Sermons. Nerdy Sermons, we do them every single Sunday over on our YouTube channel, and then it gets discussed in our Discord, and that looks like we take whatever is trending. So who, maybe, are you guys Marvel fans? Who's seen Ant-Man Quantumania? Have you seen Ant-Man? We did a sermon on Ant-Man. Because why not? It was a movie that came out. It had a theme that related to a scripture. So we went through it. We made a sermon about it. 15 minutes, quick, well cut, very entertaining, like TikTok, right? You got to keep people's attention. And we do that every single Sunday to engage people. And then they take it back with them to Discord. We'll talk more again about all of this. But right now, if you're thinking what most people are thinking whenever I describe this, it probably goes a little bit like this. That is perfect for blank. That is the perfect church for my granddaughter. That is the perfect church for my son. That is the perfect church for my nephew. That is the perfect church for my cousin. That is the perfect church for this person that I know. That's probably what you're thinking. I hear that a lot. That is a sentiment that is shared. And it's exciting because we are reaching people. We're reaching your grandson, your granddaughter, your son, your daughter, your cousin, your nephew, your niece. We are reaching them, but we exist because of the hard work and the ministry that you're doing. So we're going to talk more about that. But before we do that, I want to get into our scripture for today. I'm going to finish off the rest of this passage here from John chapter 4. I don't know why Jim gave me the lectionary that was like 50 verses long. If you looked at the lectionary this week, it was John 4 and it was like 1 through 52 or something. And so I had to just kind of pick a little section. But I do know the reason why the lectionary is so long, because it's so good. The Samaritan woman at the well. And so we're going to finish up this passage reading from 39 to 42, verses 39 to 42 of this passage from John. Hear now these words. Many Samaritans in that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's word when she testified, "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you said, for we've heard for ourselves and know that this one is truly the Savior of the world." Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you and you alone are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's the third week, the third week of Lent. How are we doing? How are we doing with our third week of Lent? Did anybody give up anything? Yeah, maybe some people gave up something. Maybe not this year. Maybe you're like, I already gave up. I'm already back on the train. Maybe today you're taking the Sunday off like we often do. But I think the third week of Lent is the perfect time for the woman at the well. Because most of us typically give up what? Soda. Candy, sweets, something like that. And so if you gave up soda for Lent, you're 3 weeks in, you should be thirsty. You might be needing some of that water at the well. I always gave up soda for Lent myself. That was always my thing because I'm a big sweets head. I love anything that's sweet. I love candy. I love all that stuff. But a couple years ago, I learned that sitting at a desk all day and working for Checkpoint, I wasn't drinking enough water. I would maybe get one bottle of water down a day, and that was just not enough. And so I invested in this. You see this big old thing? That is ridiculous, first off. That is absolutely absurd, but I invested in this giant water bottle, and the goal of the water bottle is it has like a little ticker here that you're supposed to drink from all day, and by the end of the day, this thing better be gone. And for the first little while, I wasn't doing that, but now almost every single day, I'm drinking this whole thing. I needed it. Because I didn't know any better. I needed it because I wasn't keeping track, and then all of a sudden I had something that was helping keep me honest and discovering something about myself through doing this. And I tell you what, I feel better. I feel better. I drink the first segment in the morning, and it's like an entire bottle of water first thing in the morning, and I drink one right before bed, and I feel better. I really do feel good. See, I knew that I needed water. I knew that I needed that living water, something to sustain. But I just needed some help getting there. And so, the first question I want to ask you is, what are you thirsty for? Do you know what you need? And how are you going to get there? Our scripture for today can be described in 3 simple sentences. Jesus waited at the well. The woman waited down her bucket with the living water. And the Samaritan people waited through the water. Back to Jesus. Our scripture begins with this whole chunk. Remember, I said it's like 50 verses long. Our scripture begins with this Samaritan woman at the well, and Jesus is there. The Samaritan woman walks, and she's smarter than your average bear, and he begins to talk with her, and she knows this is weird. Something's not right. Why is this man talking to me at the well? There were a couple issues. First off, it was just not a social norm for a man to talk to a woman, especially a married woman or even, you know, an unmarried woman. Whatever it may be, it was uncustomary for these two people to be talking at the well. The second was that Jesus was a Jew and she was a Samaritan and they didn't get along. The Jewish people didn't know if the Samaritans were clean, cleansed, if they had done the proper ritual. And so they didn't typically associate with one another. And then to make matters worse, not only was Jesus a man, Jesus was a rabbi. Jesus was a teacher, was a leader. This was not normal. Everything about this was strange. There's something weird going on there. Throughout the passage, we learn that this is an important well, that this is a well that is believed to have been passed from Jacob in the Old Testament to Joseph. And so this is a historical, biblical well. This is something that meant something to people. And they begin to have a conversation, and Jesus asks for some water. And then when she begins to ask questions, Jesus knows that this woman knows more than she's letting on. And he says, if you would have really known, you would have asked me for the living water. And she gets confused. She thinks maybe he's using some kind of clever wordplay and means like spring water instead of well water that's sitting there. Maybe it's spring water, running water, which would have been quite the miracle, would have been quite unexpected. And so she says, well, do you mean to tell me that you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, that you're greater than our ancestor Joseph? She asks these thoughtful questions that you wouldn't expect her to ask. And Jesus reveals that he knows more about her than she thinks. That I know you've been married, that I know you're not married, that I know you've had many husbands at this point. Jesus waited at the well. The woman waited down her bucket with the living water, and the Samaritan people waited their way back to Christ. Our passage that I just read from comes from the passage where a woman has just figured out. She has figured out that he is the Messiah, makes the guess, and Jesus confirms it. And then she takes that message, and what does she do? She tells it to everyone that she knows. She tells it to all of her people. And then whenever she tells them, they get excited. And so they go and they meet with Jesus and they say, will you stay with us for 2 days and tell us everything you know? Jesus does so. And then they have this remarkable phrase right at the end, the last one that we read. We no longer believe because of what you told us. We've now heard it for ourselves. And we believe. Jesus waited at the well. The woman waded down her bucket with the living water, and the Samaritans waded their way back to Christ. 3 years ago, a vision for a church for nerds, geeks, and gamers. I'm all three, in case you haven't figured that out. I love nerds, I love geeks, I love gamers, but I'm also a big one in every way. I was so thrilled to see Koji Kondo's name written down for our prelude of our video game church music medley. What a joy to see Koji Kondo's name. That's amazing. This prolific Nintendo music writer, composer, featured here on the bulletin. What an amazing thing. I'm nerding out already about it. I love anime. I love manga. Those are probably my favorite things. I love all Nintendo games in general. I also get in on some of the other games out there. I'm more of a solo player. I like lore-heavy games. I really like things that tell a rich story. We'll talk about one of those games here at the end. But you know what I found? Is that that nerd part of me was never welcome at church. I'm a pastor's kid. I grew up in the church. My dad has served the church that he's currently serving for 20 years, which is remarkable for a United Methodist pastor. And so I grew up in this rich contemporary church, this thing that we had started and grown out of very little, from a warehouse to a wonderful building to a youth building, very similar to the vibes that I'm getting here of just the wonderful growth that you've seen. And so I had this rich church part of me. I loved the church. But whenever I went to youth, I felt like I had to go play horse or whatever basketball game they might be playing, or I had to be my sporty self or something like that, and I could never talk about Super Smash Brothers. I wasn't allowed. The two weren't allowed to meet for whatever reason. And so then I went to college. Whenever I went to college, I found that the church part of me began to drift away. I never stopped believing, never didn't become a Christian, or never lost my Christianity. Very much wanted to be a pastor, resoundingly inside myself. So I always knew. But whenever I was in college, for some reason, my friends weren't really the church type. They were the nerds. They were the people that I wanted to bond with, the people that I wanted to play games with and go watch movies with and hang out with. And as I began to get to know them, I began to learn that they also didn't feel welcome at the church. And so something needed to be done. Nerds weren't being welcomed by the church. And so because they had gone so long without being welcome in this rich community, this place that had so much for them, they began to make it for themselves. There's a coffee shop in Greensboro. It's closed now, but that was one that I used to frequent see called Geekboro Coffee Shop. I used to go and play board games there. If you look at the culture of the Comic-Con, the convention culture, millions of people from across the globe go to flock and dress up as their favorite video game character, as their favorite anime protagonist, whatever it may be. They gather together to nerd out because they want community. They're seeking out community. And the church isn't offering it. So 3 years ago, we started offering it. We had to. Nerds were making it for themselves because they are thirsty for church. So we began to work on it. Began to discover other ways that nerds were gathering online. I mentioned Discord earlier. Did you know there's a whole website called Board Game Arena where you can go and play board games live? Anytime you just get together and play board games? What are the churches doing? Monday through Saturday, we've got fellowship halls, board games, come on, right? It just made sense. And so we had to do something, a vision for the future. But who would go and who would do it? So I went to the conference and I told them this idea. I said that nerds are thirsty for the church, and I believe that I'm in the place to do it because I'm a big old nerd. I can be there. I can let them know that I'm a nerd amongst the nerds. I'm not going to save them, but instead just to point them back to this thing that I found at the church, to let them know there is rich community out there and to make the connection, to be the bridge between these two things. So here we are. 3 years later, and they are still very thirsty for community. They are still wanting and needing, and they're finding it at Checkpoint, but there's still so much more that we need to offer. There's a new ministry that I just met with this past week called Save Point Ministries, and they are an evangelical ministry out of Colorado, I believe. And he told me his vision is there are so many nerd communities starting online that now he wants to start connecting them back to physical churches so they can geek out online and then they can find a church near them, kind of like our Find a Church that we have at United Methodist Church. The desire's there. The community is there. Whenever I first started, we began live streaming on Twitch, and I would stream for 2 hours at a time, 2 days a week, and I thought that was crazy. Who's going to show up? I'm used to preaching on a Sunday morning, right, at 10 or 11, and then by the time that hour ticks by, you better believe we're thinking about Golden Corral, right? And there's no way you're getting more than an hour out of us. And then all of a sudden, I switched over to this nerd church, and it was like 2 hours was not even beginning to scratch the surface. They were like, no, can we have 3 hours? Can we have 3 days a week for 3 hours? We're gathering 9 hours a week to play games together. Just because people want to be in community. There are live streamers out there that I know that are doing Christian ministry that are streaming for the entire day. They wake up, they stream, they go to sleep. They're streaming 50, 60 hours a week because people just want community. And the church should be offering it. Whenever we first started something and we started our level two, that was where we gave people the opportunity to lead, to be a part of Checkpoint and not just be a consumer of it. I hadn't even posted it, and we had two people sign up within 30 minutes. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They wanted to be a part of something more than just the sound booth. And I love you, sound booth people. But that was where the nerds had been kind of ushered. And they wanted to do more. They were thirsty. everything that we do, there's immediate interest. We've had call stories. We've had people that want to be a part of something more because they're thirsty. It just took someone to weigh down my bucket with the living water and to bring it to them. And now they're wading their way back to Christ. This is the gospel call of the Great Commission. This is a cycle of waiting to receive new people, wading down your bucket and taking the living water to them, and then they're wading their way right back to Christ. The church is waiting for new life. The people are wading down their buckets and sending themselves out to their friends, to the nuns, to the duns, to the nerds that want more. And then those that are impacted are wading back to the church, and ultimately, a transformed life in Jesus Christ, our mission as a United Methodist Church. So now my question, and the question you may be asking yourself, you may be thinking, hey, I'm not a nerd. This is great and all, but what am I going to get out of this? What do I need from this? What is the Spirit telling me right now? I heard through the grapevine, looking through y'all's social media, that you just affirmed yourselves as a Lighthouse congregation, and that is miraculous. I think you should give yourself a round of applause because that is incredible work. That is incredible work. That, my friends, is waiting at the well. You are waiting at the well with the living offer to people that need it. This is good work, good and faithful servant. This is an example of how some of you may feel called to lead. Some of you maybe are called to lead in different ways. Maybe that board game night idea is just bumping around in your brain. You're like, hey, that does sound pretty good. Or maybe a video game ministry does, hey, that does sound pretty good. Whatever it may be, wherever you feel called, maybe you are called to wait at the well, to receive with warmth and comfort as you've so well received me and my family today. We feel so welcomed. We feel so warmed. You're so good at that. Those sausage biscuits are so good. Maybe you're a waiter, or maybe you're waiting down your bucket and ready to go share the gospel. You're ready to go tell. Or maybe you're new here, and maybe you're just waiting your way back to Christ. You're trying to figure out what exactly this call story even looks like. Where are you this morning? One final story that I want to share with you. A couple months ago, we play a lot of video games on stream. You'll find off if you peruse Twitch for a little bit, a lot of people play one game. So maybe it'll be like a Fortnite streamer, and they'll just play Fortnite. Or maybe they'll be like The Sims. You guys remember The Sims probably, maybe on the, you know, old school. Maybe you're a The Sims streamer, and so you just play The Sims. Or maybe you just do this game, or you just play that game, whatever it may be. A lot of people do that. We don't do that. I don't have the attention. I don't know if I have ADHD or not, but I don't have the attention. And so we do a lot of games. We play a variety of games. We're always playing something different. And that's because I really like story-rich games, like I mentioned. And so just on a whim, I found out that there was a game that was very similar to my favorite game of all time, Undertale. You guys should play it if you haven't. It's wonderful. There was a game very similar to Undertale called One Shot. One Shot. The gist of the game, you got one shot. You are this character who is the light, trying to restore the light in the world, a little bit on the nose for us churchy people. But hey, it's a no expectations with this game. I thought we're going to play this game. It'll be a couple hours. We'll have fun. We'll hang out. We started playing the game, and a new person trickled in. And another new person trickled in. And another new person trickled in. And another one, and another one. And we wound up having probably 15 people from this community that had never met us before, that knew nothing about Checkpoint, that had never heard of us, and were like, oh, cool, a church is playing one of my favorite games. They love One Shot. There is this community that this is their game. And so every time they see somebody playing on Twitch, they click the button, they watch the stream. It's just what they do. But this time, whose stream were they clicking on? Checkpoint Church. We had waded down our bucket with the living water, and we were sitting in a space where they would find us, and then they were able to hear something new for the first time. Every single stream, every single video, every single podcast, every single thing that we do ends the exact same way. This was my mission from the very beginning, because I know that the internet is a very transitory place. A lot of people leave, a lot of people come, a lot of people stay. It's all over the place. And so whether you visit Checkpoint one time, whether you visit us every single day, whether you visit us for every single stream, whatever, I wanted everyone that visited us even once to hear the same thing. We end every stream. God loves you. We love you. You matter. God loves you. We love you. You matter. Because the suicide rate is ridiculously high online. Depression, anxiety, ridiculously high. And so, for too long, I believe the nerds, the geeks, and the gamers have been told they don't matter. Whether it's by the church, or whether it's by their parents, or whether it's by their peers, or whether it's by whoever, they needed to be told, God loves you, we love you, and you matter. And so we played this game called One Shot, and these people came in, and for all that I know, for the very first time in their entire life, they could have been told that for the very first time. Because we played this silly game on this silly stream just to be together. And so I'll never forget Sky, who joined us, the very first person that started that flood. I don't know anything about Sky. I've never met them again, never seen them again. They never returned after One Shot. I don't know what they think. But I know that at least once they have heard, they have been offered the living water, that God loves them, that we love them, and that they matter. God works in mysterious ways. Some of you may really be raising your eyebrows at what in the world a nerd minister could possibly be. Why is this needed? Why is this necessary? That's why. Because even one person that gets to hear that they matter, that may have never heard it before, that is good news. That is good work. Wherever you may find yourself, know that this whole story is centered around the well, the living water. Regardless of where you may be, whether you're waiting down your bucket, or whether you're waiting your way back, the source remains the living water. We're all here for different reasons. We all get here in different ways. But we all thirst for the same living water offered only through Christ Jesus. May we all drink and never thirst again. Amen.